Have you ever thought about learning to play the piano? It sounds hard, right? PianoPicnic.com makes learning the piano simple and fun. You can learn at your own pace and you don't need to learn to read sheet music. Besides, there's loads of boring guitar bands out there. Cool bands need cool keys. Rock out with your keyboard at PianoPicnic.com.
Welcome to the Musicians Map podcast. Apologies to regular listeners for the lack of episodes. All I can say is that I'll try harder. That's not a promise of more regular episodes, but a promise that I'll at least continue to make episodes when I find interesting people to talk to and interesting topics to discuss. As always, if you'd like to convince me to make more episodes or you want more content, go and pick up the Musicians Map ebook or audiobook available at musiciansmap.org, Amazon, and Audible, and go through the podcast archives. There are so many amazing episodes, all available for free. All I ask is that if you're getting value from them, please leave a rating and review, tell your friends, and share on social media. Also, there's a Musicians Map Facebook page and Facebook group, so follow us on the page and join the group, and you'll keep up to date. And a huge thank you to all of you who have already done those things. I really appreciate you all. This episode, I'm talking to Nicole Gaffney. Nicole is a major part of Girls Rock Aotearoa, and she plays guitar and sings for her duo Carbon Carb. She's super cool and has some really great things to say. I'll let her take it from here.
I don't come from a particularly musical family. My family always listened to a lot of Motown records when we were growing up. Listened to a lot of like the Manhattans, the Commodores and Supremes and stuff like that. So that was kind of the way I got introduced to music. And it all kind of changed when I went to high school and I met this group of friends who just were really into like emo and like pop punk. And they were just like real into it and really into like pretending to skateboard. And it was real fun. And we started a band together. Yeah, it was the best. And we like started a band.
Yeah.
We started playing, you know, at our school, at the like assemblies and like at, I don't know, talent quests and things like that. Yeah. And then we decided to like start trying to push ourselves a bit more. So we started to contact people who put on all ages shows and we got to play a bunch of those, which was really awesome. And then we got introduced to this amazing indie like dance punk scene and it kind of just took off from there. And like since then, it's kind of just snowballed where I've just been given these opportunities. I think like I've gone for them and contacted people that I thought were doing cool stuff. And they've just been like, okay, you can play the show. You can do this. Come on tour, whatever else. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you just like form the band and were like, well, I guess I'll play guitar? Or
yeah.
How did you start playing guitar?
I got lessons at school and I think my parents really wanted me to learn like the saxophone or something because like they really love Motown and fun stuff like that. But I think I just was like, I really like the guitar. I think my sister started playing the guitar and then she discarded it because she got bored and then I picked it up. Like most stories of like people who start playing instruments, like my older sister or my older brother discarded it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so common, isn't it?
Yeah.
The younger sibling like looks up to the older sibling and then the older sibling, yeah, gives up and it's...
Exactly. Exactly.
Apart from like, I'm the oldest sibling out of all my sisters and none of them are musical.
Oh, really?
No one took up drums. Maybe because I kept it. If I'd thrown it away, maybe one of my sisters would have grabbed it.
Yeah, I reckon you just got thrown away.
So can you explain what Girls Rock is and how you became involved with it?
Yeah. So I think when I was growing up, and when I had this band when I was a teenager, it was really hard for us because we were four young women as well. There were no dudes in our band and we were really struggling to kind of like push our way through. Girls Rock is kind of like the program that I wish that we had when we were younger. It's the sort of networking connection that I wish that we had. But yeah, it's a school holiday program. It's a week long. It can be condensed as well. So there are a few different ideas floating around that they're going to do shorter camps, but usually it's about a week long. We have band practices instrument lessons, workshops, and at the end of the week we have a showcase, and that's when like family and friends can like see what the kids have been writing, and they usually just play one song for their family and friends. It's real fun. It's really awesome. It's a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. What sort of level of kids are you getting? Like, is it total beginners or is it kids that have a background in music?
It's everyone. So we make sure that we're open to all different types of kids. So if the kid has never picked up a guitar in their life, that's totally fine. If they're amazing and they can shred like amazingly, that's also fine. We kind of group the bands so that we make sure that we take that into consideration so that, you know, you don't have a really huge difference in skill level. But yeah, anyone is welcome. And that's the thing with the mentors as well. We have people who are like incredible musicians who are really well, I guess, regarded in the music community. But then we also have people who are maybe just starting out playing music or maybe want to meet new people and find out new networks and are just like starting out that journey really. So yeah.
Sure. Yeah. And it's a worldwide thing, right?
Yeah. So it started in the States in like 2001 and it's everywhere. There's a Japanese one. There's a bunch in Africa, so many of them. And it's like this incredible global network that I think is really special because we all have the same sort of kaupapa. Everyone is on the same level of what they're trying to achieve. So it's a really special thing to meet other people from other Girls Rocks as well. Like I go over to Australia every year and do a Girls Rock there just to like see how they're doing it and see how we can do ours better. Yeah.
And we've had two in New Zealand so far and there's another one, was it two? And there's another one coming up.
Yeah, yeah. So we've had two in Auckland and one, the next one is in July in Wellington.
It's so super cool. So obviously part of the reason it exists is encouraging young people who identify as females and non-binary to pursue what has like traditionally been a male-dominated area, right? Like, because it's focused on rock. How do you feel about like overall about the current level of equality in music in terms of young people being given equal opportunities and encouragement when they're starting out and perhaps being influenced in a certain direction?
I think it's changing. The thing for me is like representation is really important. So I think the more young people that see a version of themselves up on a stage, up in the global music community, they see that person that looks like them and then they decide, oh, wait, I can do this as well. So I think it's really changing. In the past, like even like 5 years, I think it's gotten a lot better. There's so many amazing artists that right now that I pretty much only listen to like women and trans people and non-binary artists. Yeah, just because like the quality is just, I think it's just more people. I think they were always there. It's just that the thing is like, once you see someone on the stage, you get the confidence to actually go out and do it yourself.
Yeah. And I guess it's like a different perspective, right? Like such a unique point of view and it's a perspective that maybe we are not used to hearing.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of exciting people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. As you say, if they're seeing themselves represented, you know, to come up and create this art that will expose us to new thoughts and new ideas.
Totally.
I think that's really exciting. It's something that I kind of struggle with in terms of like having the podcast and wanting to promote women in music on my podcast is in the past, you know, when I interview a woman, rather than doing an episode about like females in music and, you know, calling it women in rock or, you know, something like that, I tend to not really acknowledge it. And I just sort of go in favor of just speaking to an awesome rock musician who is a woman. And I kind of struggle between what is the right thing to do, you know, whether I'm sort of trying to highlight that they are a woman in rock or whether they're just a rock musician who's a woman and therefore normalizing it. What do you kind of think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a really important conversation to have because I think there is a very fine line between promoting someone and making sure that they get the equal opportunity and then also tokenizing them.
Yeah.
It's a really big conversation that we have at Girls Rock as well, where we talk about how do we make sure that we're not, you know, making it about gender, but also giving someone the opportunity to put themselves forward. And I think that that's a really good thing is like sort of highlighting these people and giving people a chance to actually shine is a really big thing in my opinion. I think that sort of the whole conversation around festivals booking women because they don't have enough of a quota and they're trying to fill a sort of quota and they're trying to check some boxes. I think that is really tricky because in some ways it's really great because it's giving someone a chance to actually get up there and prove themselves that they're actually good enough and they're amazing and that like, you know, they should be up there. But then there's also the thing of why should it be a box ticking thing? But I think as we go on, like, I think everything is changing and I think we won't have to think about that for that much longer, really. I think it's going to change enough that we won't really have to think about it and it'll just be based on, you know, like we can highlight these musicians because we love these musicians. Yeah.
What do you think is pushing that change?
To me, I think it's just the confidence that more musicians have felt in coming forward because I think musicians don't just appear out of thin air. I think these people have been sitting in their bedrooms writing songs and all they needed is a little push to say, hey, you can do this, go for it. And I think that's a really big thing that's we're trying to do at Girls Rock as well, is we're trying to give these musicians the confidence to go forward and say, no, I'm here and here's my music.
Yeah. And so have you seen any kind of results post Girls Rock from the people that were in it? Any kind of cool stories you could share?
Totally. Because New Zealand is so new at the moment, but I've been doing Girls Rock in Canberra, Australia for about 3 or 4 years now. And there's one band that the first time I did it, my drummer that was in my band that I was mentoring, she went on to be in another band called Teen Jesus and the Gene Teasers, I think it's called. But like at the moment, yeah, ridiculous name. I love it. But yeah, and then the next year that we did Girls Rock in Canberra, a few of them came back and they were interns at Girls Rock. And then I think the next year probably going to be mentors. But they're doing really amazingly in Australia at the moment. I think it's like this thing where, you know, this all-girl group have kind of come through Girls Rock and they've already had the talent to start with and they already had the band and they just needed that little push of being like, hey, we now have the confidence to go out and actually do it and think that we can do it as a career. And it's just like, it's amazing to see. It's really incredible. And even here in New Zealand, I've seen so many beautiful relationships even just form out of Girls Rock. And I think that's the most important part is that networking of musicians. And so a bunch of people who maybe were too shy to approach another artist because they thought they couldn't, but it's this great thing. It's like it's a real leveler in Girls Rock. Everyone is kind of on the same level. Everyone's in it together. And it's just been really, really awesome.
I admire it so much. It's the coolest, coolest thing. And as you said, like, imagine if there was something like that around when you were younger.
Yeah.
Oh, just going to a camp with people all your age and people that you can look up to as role models and all just playing music. Oh my God.
It's so incredible. Eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the best. It's the best. So I want to talk a bit about Carbon Carb as well.
Cool.
Well, firstly, maybe how did you guys form? How did you become Carbon Carb?
Yeah, we started quite a while ago now. I think it was like 2012. So we've been playing for a long time, but we've kind of gone through a few different sounds. So the Carbon Carb that exists today is a bit different to the 2012 version. We had a band before and it was me playing drums and James was playing guitar. And then I'd written all these songs in university that I was like on guitar because I'm a guitarist. So I was like, I'd written all these songs and I was like, I would really love to play these songs, but I need a drummer. And James was like, oh, I'll just learn drums. It's fine. So he just got on the drum kit and did it. But that's kind of how I learned how to play drums as well. So it was cool. It was DIY.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
But yeah, we've been going for a while now. And yeah, we just kind of every year we just take it as it comes and we love to tour. So just figuring that out is fun.
Yeah. I mean, that's something that I've noticed. It seems like you guys play so many shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. How important has touring been for the band?
I think touring is the main part of the band, really. I really hate band practice and I really don't like a recording process as well. I'm not that into it. I get too impatient. I have a very short attention span. So my favorite part is just getting up on a stage and playing to new people. And in New Zealand, it's so small that It's really hard to play to new people constantly. It's really hard to build up a substantial fan base that come to your shows all the time. So I think touring has been a really important part of the band to kind of keep it fresh.
Mm.
So we go to Australia a lot. And because Australia is so massive, it's just like we're always just getting new bands to play with and new people coming to the shows. It's real fun.
And how are you guys doing that? Are you booking everything yourselves? And
yeah. So James is really amazing at organizing shows. So he's just kind of picked it up over the years. He's been the only person who's booked all of our shows. So he just emails out like millions of people, just emails, and like finds contacts from other people. We make a friend and then he builds from there. But it's kind of like that thing is we went over to Australia the first time and it was like, fine, we had a good time. We met like a couple people or a couple bands that were really awesome. And then the next time we went over, it was better. The next time we went, it was even better. It just like builds, it just sure. like kind of snowballs, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really exciting because it's just like now at this point, we can just go to Australia and James can like even not even book the shows because sometimes he'll just get like a friend to book the shows and they still turn out really amazing, so.
And are you guys able to cover your costs?
Yeah.
When you're touring, especially to Oz?
Yeah, Australia for sure. We just came back from Japan and I think we covered all of our ground costs, so all of our food and like trains and stuff like that, but not the plane tickets, which is fine. Like,
yeah.
We had the best time ever. It was like a free holiday, basically, to Japan. So we mostly cover costs, but it can be quite hard depending on ticket sales, yeah.
How did the Japan tour come about? And tell me about that.
Yeah. I think we went to Australia and we were talking to another band in Australia who just come back from Japan. And we were like, we really want to go to Japan. How did you do it? And they said, follow this guy on Instagram. And so we were like, okay, followed him on Instagram. And then that night we get a message that's like, hey, really like your band. Come to Japan. I'll organize a tour. So
whoa.
That was really amazing. His name was Ko Nakagawa, yeah. And he is like an angel. He's just like this DIY god who just puts on all of these shows in Japan and like knew exactly where to go, knew what bands to book that would like us. And it was just like the best experience ever.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing.
It's very cool.
How long were you there for?
Only 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. It was really, really cool.
Had you been before?
Never been to Japan. Yeah. I've always wanted to go. Even as a tourist, I think it's just like this incredible place. And just the music scene there is just really, really cool. Especially the DIY music scene. It just seems like it's really flourishing. Yeah.
It's so amazing. Eh? Japanese bands are just killing it.
They're amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Everything about Japan's amazing. Yeah. So your guys' Facebook page, you have a whole list of different labels on there. What's the story behind that? Are you simultaneously with multiple labels?
So we're very DIY. We do most things ourselves. When we tour, sometimes we get a label to help us put out a release in that country. So one like Toothache Splinter, they put all our tapes in Malaysia. In Australia, we've got Blackwire Records who put out our vinyl in Australia. So we kind of have these relationships that are more like distribution and I guess pressing relationships with labels, but we're not actually like signed contractually to any label.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, and the other one, Papa Edie Records, is what James runs in New Zealand. And so that's basically just like a distribution record label, but it's also like an artist, I guess, support label. Yeah. But it's all very DIY.
Awesome.
It's not like contracts. It's not like a record label in the traditional sense. Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. How have you been able to foster those relationships? Is it people that you've met while on tour or through other people?
Yeah, that's it, basically. Yeah, we kind of, people like the Blackwire Records one, they used to run a shop in Sydney that was also a music venue. So the first tour that we went to in Australia, we played at that music venue and they really liked us. And then we established that relationship and then, you know, got our records pressed there. But it's kind of like this thing is like, it's a mix of luck and then just people who you know, I guess, and just putting yourself out there. Like with the Malaysian one, I think we just asked a few people from the area and we said, hey, you know, like, what can we do? Or like maybe they contacted us. I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just happens.
Something that you said before about trying to build an audience in New Zealand and sort of as an indie band, you can't play Auckland every weekend to the same people because the people just won't continue to come. There's just not enough. So you need to obviously travel the country and play all the different venues and you need to get outside. What are some of the things that you would say to a band listening that are in that position and they maybe haven't quite stepped outside to Australia or even for the rest of the country? What do they kind of need to get together before they can make that happen?
Not much is the answer. It's kind of like just the money for the tickets and the money for when you're on the ground, just in case. I think building up a really good social media presence helps in nowadays. Also, I think just making sure that you curate the shows and making sure that you get bands that you actually like playing, because then they're going to like you and they're going to tell their friends to come to your show. That's the main thing, I think, is just making sure that you would actually want to go to the show that you're booking, because otherwise what's the point?
Yeah, totally. It's that, I mean, everything that you're talking about, it comes back to that DIY sort of scene, right?
And
yeah, it's listening to bands and then getting in touch with them and saying, hey, can we play with you if we come to your city?
Exactly.
And then you share your audiences, you get them to come over here and then you meet them and who knows, one of them has got a label or one of them does cool art or something.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just how it snowballs. I think most important thing is just getting out there, right?
Yeah, totally. It's just that, it's that initial jump where you have to kind of just put yourself out there, but everything else comes easy because it's just networking. It's just, but like in a way that like, you meet all these amazing people around the world or around your country and they're into the same thing that you're into and it's the special bond and you form that friendship and then stuff comes out of that friendship usually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So are you naturally good at networking or is it something that you've worked on?
I'm an extrovert, so I'm very much a people person. I love to talk to people, but I think it's just like everyone gets very shy and situations and it's really hard to talk to people that you admire as well. I think it's something that is like, you know, with practice it gets better, networking and like, you know, talking to different people, you figure out what to say and you figure out how to like talk to people, I guess. But yeah, I think just practicing. Yeah.
Fair. And you put out a record last year.
Mm-hmm.
How did you like record it and how did you release it and how's it doing?
Yeah, we recorded it with a guy in Sydney who had recorded a few of our favorite bands in Sydney. So we basically just contacted him and said, hey, do you want to record this? And like, he was amazing. And we put it out through Blackwire Records, which was the venue that we played at like our first tour. And so that really worked out. It was really easy. Yeah, I think it's doing pretty well. You know, for the first time, we've got a bit of funding from like New Zealand On Air. So we did a couple music videos, which was really awesome. Yeah. And we got to get a PR company to help us promote the songs and promote the videos. So that's been really amazing.
Yeah,
that's the first time we've ever done anything like that. So it's all new ground. It's like all not very DIY, but we were like, let's try it. Let's see what happens. And it was really fun. Yeah.
Like you could notice it.
Yeah.
I'd heard about you guys beforehand, but then with the build up to the record and the release of the record and the couple of music videos, the effect of the PR and sort of the effort that you guys put in, you know, because you got pretty good coverage.
Yeah, for it. Totally. Yeah. It was really like, it was really great, you know, just like getting like a News Hub interview and like like RNZ interviews and stuff like that. That was a really exciting thing. Yeah. It was like kind of this thing where it was like, we got all these new opportunities from hiring this PR companies. And it was like, it's very strange to us because we're just like not used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems to be the way though, right? Like it's a necessary step, I think.
Yeah.
Or maybe not if necessary. It does so much, you know. Quite often I talk to people and say, how did you get all that traction for your last record? And they say, yeah, PR.
Yeah. It's a very honed skill that, like I don't have that really like skilled way of talking about a band or like contacting the right people and things like that. I find it very interesting, but I don't think it's absolutely necessary just because I'm like super DIY. I loved, like, I think I've enjoyed more the stuff like going to Japan, which was like completely separate to that. And I think, yeah, like, because I love touring, I think that stuff really sits on a different level to the sort of music videos and the PR and like getting radio interviews and things like that. But it's like, I love them both, but the definitely the world of like DIY touring is more my buzz.
Yeah. So what's coming up for Carb on Carb? What's next? And what are you guys aiming for in the near future?
Yeah, I think we're going to take a little break because we've been going pretty hundies, but only for a few months. I think we're going to be going to Australia at the end of the year again, which would be really good because we haven't been in a little while and we feel like we need to see our good friends and things like that. Otherwise, I think we're going to write a new album next year and get that really, really good. I think we're going to spend a lot of time on it. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, can't wait. Do you want to choose someone to be the recommended artist of this episode?
Sure. I've been listening to pretty much nonstop this band called Boy Genius. It's a super group.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Lucy Dacus, Julian Baker, and Phoebe Bridges. And they've just put out one EP, but I've been listening to it on repeat. It's so beautiful. It's just like these three amazing solo artists who've decided to like form a band. And I just thought it was really awesome. Yeah. I was like, yes, that's girls rock as. Like, very cool.
Cool. Phoebe has been a recommended artist on this podcast before.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, she's amazing.
Boy Genius.
Oh, yeah, Boy Genius. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nicole. Total pleasure to talk to you.
You too.
And there we have it. Huge thanks to Nicole for being on the podcast. Check out her band Carb on Carb on Facebook and Bandcamp. You'll find links to Carb on Carb in the show notes as well as Girls Rock. And thank you for listening. Hopefully I'll have another episode for you soon. This podcast and the website musiciansmap.org is dedicated to sharing knowledge and advice about music and the music industry. It's all about community, honesty, and positive progress. The experiences, stories, and advice shared on the podcast are given freely with the hope that you can relate to them and benefit from them. If you've found this podcast enjoyable or useful, make sure to check out the Musicians Map ebook and audiobook about building success in music. You'll find it at musiciansmap.org/books, Amazon, and Audible. And buying a copy of the book directly contributes to the continuation of this podcast. There's also a free ebook, How to Get Your Music Heard. Go to musiciansmap.org/free-book to get your copy. If you have a suggestion for the podcast or for the YouTube channel, or you just want to get in touch and say hello, please do so via the Musicians Map Facebook group or by email at kane@musiciansmap.org. Thanks for listening and stay positive.